For people who are unfamiliar with your work, boiled down, tell us what it's about. What are you doing?
Right. So think Google Earth on speed. So using satellite imagery and using algorithms and computer software to process imagery to be able to pull things out of landscapes that we can't see with our naked eye. And this has allowed us to find potential pyramids and tombs and new settlements and many other features all around the world.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that would not have been possible a short time ago, correct?
Even 20 years ago, the field was still nascent, and it's really only been in the last 10 to 15 years with the development of very high-resolution satellites that we've been able to do this work.
Mm-hmm. And the significance of this, it's not just for Egypt, correct?
No, I mean, my colleagues are doing this work all over the world, so in Europe, in Asia, in Central America, South America, the field is really, really developing, and if you'll excuse the pun, taking off after all this time.
And you mentioned during the press conference just now that some of your friends, some of your colleagues have actually lost their lives. Is this defending sites from looters? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So the chief archaeologist of Palmyra, Khaled Assad, he decided to stay on at the site even when ISIL was approaching and his family and friends said, "You've got to go. This is not going to be good." But he said, "This is my life. This is where I've been working for over 50 years. Why would I leave Palmyra?" And he died protecting the site. So, you know, so many of my friends and colleagues are risking their lives in Syria, Iraq, especially with ISIL, but in Egypt too. I've had friends that have almost lost their lives protecting sites. They've had to protect temples and other sites from looters, and they've undergone gunfire. So this is very, very serious. It's been hard, you know. Previously, colleagues of mine haven't been able to work in certain parts because of certain stretches. And actually, we work at one site along the west coast of Sinai, and we haven't been able to go there in years because of ISIL and or Al Qaeda in Sinai. It's just not safe. So we've had to focus our work elsewhere, and it's tough because we were on the verge of almost completing our archaeological work at one site. We literally need 4 weeks to go and work there. And, you know, but we're lucky. Like, the site is pretty safe. It's not a site that people would loot. I don't know. I mean, I think if Egypt were unsafe to go visit, you know, we're talking about a relatively stable country with a robust tourism industry. And if Egypt were to become unstable, then that means the whole region would be even more of a mess than it is, and I think we would have much bigger problems, to be honest. So, knock on wood, hopefully we will never get to that point. And I think, you know, Egypt's government, President Sisi, is really cracking down on terrorism. I've been very impressed with Egypt's armed forces. They have cracked anti-terrorism teams. So, you know, I have to be confident that, you know, things are okay. Of course, I talk to my colleagues and friends in Egypt every day, and I get a real good sense of the lay of the land, and the security has actually stabilized and improved in the country. Sinai is another issue altogether. That's always been problematic.
Does that motivate you? And the fact that they were willing to make that kind of sacrifice, how does that influence how you think about it?
You know, I think, you know, especially with the TED Prize or any kind of press that people like me get, you know, I am but one of many doing this work. And, you know, the people who are in the field doing this every day, I call them the real culture heroes. I'm just representing them. And if I can, through this prize and through my work, celebrate the great efforts that they're making, you know, that's something that I want to do. And certainly, you know, another great thing, too, that we're hoping to do, and something I'm doing now with funding from the National Science Foundation, is we're setting up training programs in Egypt to help train the next generation of archaeologists in how to use these new tools. Because these young men and women there are just brilliant. They're good archaeologists, but they have absolutely no resources to protect sites. So that's something we're hoping to be able to give them.
Would I be right to guess that some of the money that you're going to get from this prize is going to go to those types of efforts?
Well, right now I have funding from the National Geographic Society and the National Science Foundation. So that funding is supporting those efforts. In terms of what I am going to be doing with the TED Prize money, you're going to need to tune in. Go to TED.com, and the banner's up today. You can sign up for notifications from the TED Prize. And next February 16th, which is a Tuesday evening, I'm at Vancouver at TED going to be announcing my wish to the world. The talk is going to be live streamed, so everyone is going to be able to listen in and then take part.
Excellent. I can see you're enjoying this. There's a little bit of suspense. This is fun. How did you first come up with the idea to study archaeological sites from space? I mean, are you the first one? Are there other people doing it? And mainly, how did you come up with that?
So there are other people doing it. Certainly I'm not the first one, but it's interesting to end up here in Alabama. The person I call the father of space archaeology, Dr. Tom Siever, he worked at NASA for years. Now he's a professor at the University of Alabama at Huntsville. He was really the pioneer, and he's been an incredible friend and mentor to me. But the reason I took my first remote sensing class as an undergraduate is because of my grandfather. He was a forestry professor at the University of Maine in Orono, and one of the pioneers of using aerial photography in forestry. So it's been in my family, and he's really the reason I started doing it. And I had assumed when I took the remote sensing course, now it would be over 15 years ago, that I'm sure loads of folks have done this work before in Egypt, and I got lucky.
How does what you do actually work, technologically-wise? Like, what's happening?
Right. So I'll define an area, purchase satellite imagery, get it, process it. In archaeology, we go from the known to the unknown. So we'll look at maps, we'll look at the site, we'll look at what's known there, and then we'll start processing the imagery. You know, and every site's different. Is it a temple? Is it a settlement? Is it a wall? Is it a road? Whatever features might be there, we compare them to known examples. You know, we think we're seeing something. But that's only step one. We then have to go into the field. You can't ever just do this work remotely without doing survey and on-the-ground excavation. It's called ground truthing. You're literally checking out if what is buried in the ground matches what you've seen from space.
How would you sort of characterize the support that you've gotten from the institution where you are, from UAB right here?
So when I first arrived at UAB almost 10 years ago, there was no remote sensing lab here. And that's one of the things that I had proposed in my interview. So, of course, then I had to start it. But I've just had I had amazing support from my chair, my dean, UAB administration, and everyone helped me to start my lab. So without that support, you know, I wouldn't have even been able to start this work 10 years ago, and I'm just incredibly grateful for, not just for the initial support, but for the ongoing support. And also, you know, I have to give a big shout out to UAB students. You know, I've had many dozens of world-class students in my lab, many of whom have gone on to top MA and PhD programs, several of whom are professional remote sensing folks now. So it's been a combination of, you know, administrative support for the lab, it's clearly emotional support from my colleagues, but also my students who just continually blow me away with the great work they're doing.
Speaking of students, I'm the father of two young girls who really love science. My wife's a scientist. Do you have any sort of encouragement or advice for young people who are interested in scientific fields like yours or any others?
So yeah, I'm a big supporter of kids doing science and STEM, you know, especially young girls. And I don't think there are enough examples of women doing this type of science, you know, on TV more often than not. When you turn on a television channel, with all due respect to my male colleagues, they're doing great work, but we need to see more women on television and as examples of scientists. And you know, it's hard being a female scientist. We don't have in general good support, good parental paid leave. We do at UAB, but in general it's just really tough. So I think the more people like me can be examples to young women and girls and show them that it's possible. You know, we're always breaking glass ceilings for the next generation. Hopefully it will be a little bit easier for them. But also, I hope to show as an example that if you're passionate about something and you stay focused on that passion, then you really can be whatever you want to be when you grow up.
Thank you. And I have to ask you one kind of silly question. Your high leather brown boots reminded me. I read somewhere that people call you the Indiana Jones of satellite archaeology. How do you feel about that?
You know, on the one hand, you know, Indiana Jones is clearly a fictional character. On the other hand, my Twitter name is Indy from Space, and I can quote movies one and three from memory. You know, those movies came out when I was 5, 6 years old. I've seen them all countless times. I would say every archaeologist in my generation was inspired in part because of those movies. Yes, they're fictional, but it's fun. You know, it's a way to get people engaged. You know, anytime that we can celebrate archaeology publicly, even if it's a little bit silly and Hollywoodish, at the end of the day, who cares? You know, archaeology is a hard field, and we need to get the world more interested. And if Hollywood can help, then by all means, you know, great. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's the fun part of what I do. And if people want to call me Indiana Jones, I say that I'm more sights, less stubble.
Okay, great. Is there anything else? Anything else you think our listeners should know? Maybe something I should have asked you but didn't. Anything else at all?
I have to say, you know, we've lived now in Birmingham for almost 10 years, and I can share this. You know, even though I'm not from the South, I'm from Bangor, Maine. The day that I found out about the TED Prize, I went and got Saw's ribs. That was my celebration meal. So while I may not be Southerner, part of me has definitely become a Southerner.